What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, I don't often do this, but I'm going to ask us to do something here in the next few moments. But as we were singing and we were praising, and I looked across the congregation and people were worshiping, and could tell that some were lost in the presence of God, just enjoying the presence of God. I was taken to the scripture, the Bible, that says, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubt. You say, well, my hands aren't always doing what's right, and I don't know that I have holy hands. In and of myself, I don't. But because of the price that He paid, I have holy hands that can be lifted up to heaven. Forgive me if this hits a little close to home, but best I can understand, according to the Bible, there's only two reasons why I will not lift my hands. There's either wrath, there's either unresolved anger in my life, or there's doubting. He said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I understand the scriptures. That means there's only two things. It's just wrath or doubt. It would cause me to keep my hands down. He said, well, Pastor, is that necessary? Is it you have to? No, you don't have to lift your hands every time. No. I can pray with my head bowed. I can pray aloud. I can pray silently. I can meditate. The scripture gives us all many, many different ways in which we can praise. But there's something special about sign of surrender. There's something special about being willing to lift my hands. Say, Lord, here I am. You know, the law officers will ask people to lift their hands to show that they have nothing with which to come against them with. Complete sign of surrender. Can we, in just a few moments, I want everybody to close your eyes. I don't want you to feel embarrassed to think maybe somebody's looking at you, but if it's been a while since you've stretched your hands towards heaven, or you've never really had the courage or the faith, or there's something in your life that has kept you from lifting your hands towards heaven, I don't want you to be ashamed. I don't want you to be thinking about other people who may look at you, but I want everybody to close your eyes, and I just want everybody to begin to lift their hands. Stretch them towards heaven and say, Lord, I love you. I have nothing to come against you with, God. I surrender to you. Jesus, I love you. I lift up my hands that I know are only holy through you, and I do so without wrath and without doubting. I lift my hands in praise unto you as a sign of surrender. The Lord, you are worthy of my praise, and you are worthy of me giving my all unto you. So here I am, Jesus. I know it may feel uncomfortable at first, but you'll find a freedom and a liberty when you finally stretch forth your hands, when you finally lift your arms towards heaven and say, Lord, here I am. Here's a sign of my surrender unto you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'll lift your voice. Why don't you pray with a loud voice if you feel comfortable doing so? Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I praise you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. God, I look back on my life and the times I was struggling and serving you. God, I would struggle to lift my hands. I would struggle for any outward sign of praise. Lord, help me, God, never to fall back into that trap. God, help me never, God, to go back to being, God, just lackadaisical and unresponsive in service. God, let the move of your Spirit move me, God, where I don't do what I used to do, God, but I lift my hands unashamedly unto you and say, Lord, here I am.
Thank you,
Lord. Oh, what a sweet presence of the Lord is in this place. Whatever you have need of, if you need a healing in your body, the healer is in the house. If you need deliverance, the deliverer is in the house. Hallelujah. Why don't you take those same holy hands and why don't you clap them before the Lord? Why don't you give Him praise and acclamation? Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your presence that is in this place, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. We are gracious recipients of your glory, God, of your grace, God. Hallelujah. 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 Let my praise be with an attitude of gratitude, Lord. Let my praise show forth, God, how much I love you, how much I adore you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement, or to remind you that tonight, a very special service, Brother and Sister Sully, missionaries appointed to French West Africa, will be here in service with us tonight. And if you've been a part of a missionary service, you know what to expect, in the sense of people who have come to share their burden for where God has called them. And we ask that if at all possible you would make it back here in the house of the Lord to support them and share with them in their burden for taking the gospel to French West Africa, and looking forward to a great time in the Lord. We will have regularly scheduled prayer at 6, from 6 to 6:30, and then praise and worship beginning at 6:30, and then the missionaries will be ministering tonight. Men, we want to give you an opportunity to fellowship. It's been on the newsletter this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock. There at my house, we'll have a time together. We'll have some basketball bags, just a bunch of times, some ping pong downstairs. If you want to do ping pong, we just got a lot of games, activities. We'll have some drinks for you there. And so I just want you to come and hang out and just have a good time. It's good to have fellowship. It's good to have fellowship with everybody, but then it's also good to have fellowship, men with men and women with women. So we encourage that. This is a great time to invite friends, invite people to come and be a part of it that maybe you haven't seen in a while, or that maybe you would love to see start coming to church. It's a great time to get them to interact with us and see that we're normal, and that we can have a good time and we can enjoy each other's company. And so that's this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I encourage you to be there. A week from this Wednesday, going to be a great pleasure to have in service with us my cousin who pastors in Titusville, Florida. They're coming here for a little vacation. They're also going to be ministering at the church in Aurora. But on Wednesday, August the 5th, we're going to have opportunity to have him here ministering in service. And so we are certainly looking forward to that and want to make you aware of that. I want to say a big thank you, Brother and Sister Duell, who helped the fundraiser of selling the linens. We made over $200 in that fundraiser, so thank you very much for your sacrifice. Also want to say that I just simply expressed the need, and people responded, and we are just under $1,000 necessary to completely cover the cost of the music equipment that we have bought between donations and pledges and the sale of the old equipment. We're going to be able to cover that cost, it seems like, and we're just under $1,000. So thank you very much. Why don't you give yourselves an applause for quickly responding to that need. Thank you so much. And now if you would stand to your feet. I had prepared some of these notes in preparation for Sunday night, but those of you that were here know the Lord had different plans for us on Sunday night, and so we allowed the Lord to minister, and what a great time the presence of the Lord we had on Sunday evening. And so I felt led of the Lord to come back to this and preach along these lines. If you have your Bibles, you would turn to Luke chapter number 10. Don't often read a lengthy passage of Scripture, a portion of Scripture, but I will this morning. I will hasten on and I read rather quickly. Hopefully you can follow along, and then we're going to go back and look at some of these verses individually. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Everybody say, other 70. And sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, nor and salute no man by the way. And whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And to whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works have done in thee, done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they would have great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, everybody say all, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, everybody say nothing, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing can in any way, shape, or form, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to be rather optimistic this morning. I'm going to preach encouraging words to your heart and to your life. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall, I know you're thinking, oh, wait, that sounds too good to be true. Are you saying nothing shall, I'm saying what Jesus said. I'm saying what Jesus said unto the 70 that came back and said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank the power of your presence that we feel in this place this morning. God, I've come to preach a word of encouragement. God, I've come to preach unto those, God, who may don't see themselves if you see them. God, that we would understand that through your power and through your ability, God, we are and can be, God, completely invincible by your power and your help. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I read a rather lengthy passage and portion of Scripture because I wanted to provide the backdrop and the scene that is surrounding the words that were said by Jesus. In verse number 1, the Bible says that after these things, the Lord appointed other 70. In other words, we understand that the Lord had already appointed 12, the 12 disciples that we know and many of us know by name. But then the Bible says that the Lord appointed other 70. In other words, the Lord appointed another 70 men, another 70 disciples. And the Bible said that he sent them two by two before his face and to every city and place where whither himself he himself would not come. I began to think about that. I began to look at that and say, why 70? What's the significance of the number 70? The Bible always has significance. There's always a reason why numbers are put in scriptures. There's a reason why the Bible says that the Lord took another 70, or he appointed other 70 to go and sent them before his face. And so I began to look and I began to research and look at commentaries. And I realized that if you go back into the book of Exodus, you will find that as the people of Israel have made their way across the Red Sea, and they have sung the songs with Miriam as she played the tambourine, and they danced, and they talked about the horse and the rider that were thrown in the midst of the sea. The Bible tells us that they come to a place called Elim. This, if you will, is the beginning of the establishment of the church in the wilderness. Moses, who is the undoubted leader, the one who is leading the children of Israel, has brought them out of Egypt. They have exited out of Egypt and are now in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Exodus 15:27 that they go to this place called Elim. And here in the middle of the desert, the Bible specifically points out that here there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. If you don't know what a score is, it's 20. So the Bible is telling us that at this place called Elim, the beginning of this church in the wilderness, there are 12 wells of water in a desert place, and there are 70 palm trees. There's no mystery why. And Jesus, as he begins to establish the New Testament church, the mediator of a better covenant, a leader much like but much more than the man Moses, it is no wonder why Jesus would go and select 12 men. You see, 12, there were 12 tribes of Israel, but there were also 70 elders. And so Jesus gets the 12 disciples and he calls them and he says, follow me. But he just doesn't stop with the 12 disciples representing, if you will, the 12 tribes of Israel. The Bible says he appoints another 70 also. He gets another 70 disciples, or if you will, representative of the elders, and said, now we're going to do something. Now we're going to bring the kingdom of God. Now this establishment of this New Testament church is beginning to happen. I am the mediator of a better covenant. This better covenant is on better promises. And I, much like the man Moses, have selected 12 and 70. So the Bible says that he takes these 70 men. And he appoints them two by two to go whither he would not go, to go into the land round about. And the Bible says that they were to heal the sick. The Bible says that they were to go into these places and they were to heal the sick and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Jesus makes this statement. It is one that is often quoted. He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest is great. And I know sometimes when we look at the world and we look at the depths of sin and we look at the depravity that surrounds us, we see only what is on the surface. But we do not understand that much like in the time of Jesus, we are in that kind of time right now. We are in a time that when the Spirit begins to harvest and when God begins to do His great work through His laborers, they are going to recognize, I believe, that this end time revival will be undoubtedly a move, a sovereign move of Almighty God. There will be no doubt, no speculation as to what is happening. There will be no explanation other than this is a divine thing happening. As I begin to survey the scriptures, the Lord then says this. He says, we pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into His harvest. And we say, yes, laborers, Lord. We need more laborers to go into the harvest. We need more people to put their hand to the plow. We need more people to do the work of the Lord. We need laborers. And then Jesus makes this statement. Jesus says this. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Wait a second. Lions, tigers, bears. I could get that. That makes sense. Let's go and let's conquer and let's go with power and might. And Jesus says, go your ways. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Wow, Lord, we had a good prep rally going, man. We were, woo. Let's go, let's laborers, let's do this thing. Send us out, Lord. Go your ways. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Wait a second. You send the prey towards the predator. Lord, that doesn't make sense. Let's bring it into, especially for the men, let's bring it into a sports analogy. The coach gathers his team together. We're going to go. We're going to get touchdowns. We're going to win this game. Yeah, woo! Yes, you bunch of adolescent boys. You're going up against men. Strong, powerful, muscular men. They have all the equipment. They have helmets and cleats and pads. You have t-shirts and bare feet. Still excited? Still ready to go win this game? These are massive men and you're just little boys, but we're going to do it. You're going to win. I send you out. Go your ways. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Lord, I don't really understand that. I don't understand why you're taking the analogy of the prey being sent to the predator. It doesn't seem to resonate with me. I would like to be optimistic that that's going to have a good turnout. But I haven't seen many lambs with the ability to stave off wolves. I haven't seen many lambs with fighting ability. I haven't seen many lambs that were able to withstand an attack of a wolf. Lord, surely you're going to send us with some preparation. You're going to arm us with some great arms, some great swords or something. You're going to give us something that's going to prepare us to go and do this work. You're going to help us, Lord. We're going to be able to do this. So what are you going to give us? What can we take in preparation? What shall we have? What will we put upon our backs? What will we put upon our feet? What will we take in our purses? What will we take? Jesus says, verse number 4, carry neither purse, nor script, nor shoes, and salute no man in the way. It ain't getting better. were lambs among wolves. Surely we should have something to help us and protect us. But now you say, carry no purse. What are we going to say? Don't carry a scrip. Matter of fact, don't even put shoes on your feet. Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't get what you're trying to tell us here. First, we're excited. We're disciples. You're pointing us. You're sending us out. Telling us to go into these places you're not going to go to represent you. And yet, you tell us you're sending us forth as lambs among wolves. And you're telling us that we're not to carry a purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, or salute anybody in the way. Lord, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand what you're saying here. It doesn't make sense to me that you would send us out this way. No preparation. I read something this week that really made me think. Simply this, it's a quote by A.W. Tozer, and he simply said this: if the Lord were to remove his power and presence from the church, 95% of what happened would still go on. But he said if the Lord had removed his spirit from the early church, 95% of what happened would have stopped. I thought to myself, wow. Come, and I'm not against preparation, and I'm not against doing things, and I'm not against practice, and I'm not against, but I think sometimes, and I fear sometimes, that we depend upon those things, and we place so much importance upon those things that sometimes if we're not careful, we'll forfeit a move of the power of the Holy Ghost simply because we've come with the purse and script and we've come in all this preparation. And please understand me, don't get me wrong, I'm not against those things, but we, like Sunday night when we feel God saying, oh no, there's a different direction I want to go in this. I would to God that we're never a slave to program and we're never a slave to our preparation. That we allow God to do exactly what he wants to do when he wants to do it. See, I believe there's a reason why Jesus is telling them, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. I'm sending you out without purse and without scrip and without anything, because when it happens and when things begin to happen in your midst, there is not going to be any doubt. There's not going to be any explanation. If you brought a satchel with you, someone may say, well, you brought some magic potion with you. But oh, if you got no satchel with you, they can't say that anything happened as a result of something you brought with you. They will only be able to say there's got to be something going on in the heavenlies. And when you say the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, they won't be able to argue with it. So I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And I say, don't prepare. Don't take purse. Don't take scrip. Her shoes, salute no man in the way, and whatsoever house ye enter, first say, be peace unto this house, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. About the power that he is giving unto these men. You go into the house and you say, peace be upon you. And if you feel the peace in that house and you feel like they are accepting you, then guess what? The peace shall rest upon the house. Guess what? When you walk in those doors and you say, peace be upon you, and the peace is there, it's going to rest over that house. And the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and one to whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you. Eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Here's the only explanation you need to have. Here's the only explanation you need to give. When they ask, how do you do this? How are the healed? How are people healed? How are devils cast out? How do you do it? This is what you tell them in response. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whether you accept us or whether you reject us, understand this, you will not be able to deny the kingdom of God is come unto you. I say unto you that it should be more tolerable in the day for Sodom. I thought about that. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom, a city that God destroyed from heaven with fire and brimstone. Jesus is saying, if they reject you, if they say, oh no, don't come into this city and don't preach about the kingdom and don't heal the sick, if they reject you, guess what? I'm going to reject them. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom than it will be for them. And he goes on to say, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, the judgment, than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be brought thrust down to hell. Then he says this, he that heareth you, heareth me. You understand, when I have opportunity not only to step to this pulpit, but begin to tell people on a one-on-one basis and begin to tell them about the Lord, begin to tell them about the Bible, I need to understand that if they hear me, they are hearing. I'm not putting anything on myself, and I'm not thumbing my lapels. I'm just simply saying, I am nothing but a vessel. God chooses to use vessels, and in that moment, in that opportunity, I have the opportunity to be the very voice of God speaking into the heart and life of an individual. You need to understand that when God moves upon you to begin to speak to someone about the scriptures, you are the very voice of God. You are appointed of Him to speak into their life. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There is nothing more demoralizing and devastating to the kingdom of the enemy than when the kingdom of God begins to come down and make itself manifest. You and I need to understand. I know we say it, and I know we preach it, and I know we get all excited when we talk about that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But I wonder if we really believe that. I wonder if we really understand. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he says this. It's where I've drawn my title and where I'm going to spend the remaining moments of this message. He says, and nothing. Nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you. What if we really felt invincible? I'll say it again. What if we really believed we were invincible? What would we do if we knew nothing could hurt us? What if instead of getting excited about the verses of God before us and who can be against us, what if we really believed and acted in accordance with the understanding that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? What if we really believed that we are powerful and the enemy is powerless. What if we really believe that all power in heaven and earth is given unto men? Catch this. If we really understood, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, the Bible says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Will he find a people that believe they are invincible? Will he find a people that believe? How was it that Peter slept when, according to what Herod said, his head would be taken the next day? How was it that he, chained between two guards, just slept? Was it that Paul and Silas, in the midst of a Philippian jail after being beaten and placed in stocks, decided to just sing praises? What he's saying is, I read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I find about those that were burned at the stake and torn asunder, and those that all kinds of atrocities were committed against them. And you say, wait a second. Surely they hurt, but many testimonies were made of people that were burning alive at the stake, but it was obvious that the flames were not touching them because they were singing and smiling as they were praising God. Come on, Pastor, you're talking about some weird, mystical stuff. You're talking about some stuff way out there. Am I really? You see, logic, natural understanding says there's no way you throw a man in the midst of the sea and he's swallowed by a well. There's no way that man ever lives to tell the story. But yet, Jonah walked the streets of Nineveh saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Jonah lived to tell, even though he was cast into the sea and swallowed by a well. Jonah lived to tell. And Jonah walked the streets of Nineveh and preached repentance to a nation. Logic and natural thinking and understanding says there's no way. There's no way somebody, a man, is thrown into a den of hungry lions. There, in the den of hungry lions, naturally, it would seem that they would tear him apart. Yet, the next day, when King Darius leans his head into the den and says, Daniel, I am here. O King, live forever. See, we say it and we call it, and it speaks well, and the stories are Daniel in the lion's den. But in reality, when Daniel went in the den, it became the lions in Daniel's den. Why? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Daniel, you're there amidst hungry lions who are ready to rip the flesh from off your body, but yet they lie around you as docile kittens. Doesn't even seem right. That doesn't even seem logical. That doesn't naturally speaking, that doesn't make any sense. But nothing shall by any means hurt you. Does it make any sense that a group of former slaves could come before a walled city and they could take that city without injury? They simply walk around the city, and on the seventh day, after the seventh time, they blow trumpets and shout. The walls of the great city of Jericho. Nobody thinking logically or naturally would say that a group of slaves would be able, for one, to even capture that city. But if they were by some chance able to capture that city, they would have to sustain numerous casualties. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, what about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? I know we know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their Babylonian names. Hebrew names were Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. These three Hebrew boys that refused to bow. The king became irate and upset that these would not bow before him and the idol that he had set up to represent himself. And so he commanded not only that they be thrown into the fiery furnace, but that it be heated seven times hotter. And the Bible tells us that the great, big, strong, powerful men which bound them together and threw them into the fiery furnace, that it killed them. But I draw your attention. Passage of Scripture, it's Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 27. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed. Nor even the smell of fire had passed on. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying simply this. If we really understood the power of God's kingdom, and that power is available in us through the power of the Holy Ghost, if we really had the faith to believe, we would understand that He has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What is it that stops us? What is it that keeps us, myself included, from exercising this power? What is it that keeps us from doing this? We read about it in the Bible. We shout about it. We sing about it. We praise about it. But how often do we do it? This is not an indictment against anybody. This is preaching to myself as much as anybody in this place. Scriptures plainly show and reveal God's people, those that He chooses to protect, those that He appoints and sends out, those that are called out of darkness into His marvelous light, those that have the power of His Spirit inside of them. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But yet I get tripped up when I hear that a brother has said something about me or a sister has said something about me. What if we really thought like children to some extent? I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me, sticks on you. Wow, it's so trivial, it's so trite. Is it? Is it to really believe what the Scripture says? Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am with the power of God if I have the faith to believe. I am invincible. Nothing shall by any means. I say, well, man, I know Pastor was a little bit off, but man, he has gone overboard this morning. Realize if just a few people would grasp that, if just a few people would truly believe that, it would turn the world upside down. So the only thing I'm doing on this Sunday morning is getting up and trying to preach a little faith. Just believe. When you feel the unction, you feel the Spirit telling you, go talk to that person. Start the conversation, but you begin to get fearful and afraid. Remember, wait a second, nothing shall by any means hurt me. you. You feel compelled to stretch forth your hand and heal the sick, but you're afraid. You're fearful. What's going to happen? How's it going to turn out? Are they going to mock me? Are they going to ridicule me? Just remember, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't know. I don't know if I'll see it in my day. How fast things are escalating, the way things are going. It's quite possible that those who preach the Bible, even in our land of the free and home of the brave, could quickly become persecuted. Physical harm possible. Can I believe nothing shall by any means hurt me? Jesus said, I give you power. Tread on serpents and scorpions. Some of those that were at camp meeting heard Jimmy Tony preach a message on Friday night entitled The Healing Ministry of the Church. He said, and these are his words at one time, and I think he said he was ironing a shirt. He said he was thinking, and let the Lord speak to him and said, the reason why people aren't healed is because the devil hasn't been healed. He said, at first I thought, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. I don't like the devil. I don't want him healed at all. He said, then the Lord took me back to the prophecy in Genesis concerning the enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent. The prophecy was the seed will bruise his head. The serpent would bruise his heel. And then it hit him. He said, the Lord was telling me the reason why more people aren't healed, H-E-A-L, is because the devil hasn't been healed, H-E-E-L.
Amen. Yes.
When he said that, an image popped in my mind. I remember as a young man, my dad liked bird dogs, and he had an English Springer Spaniel. I remember that my dad would walk that dog. That dog would begin to walk away from him. My dad would jerk on that leash and go, "Heel!"
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. The reason why many people aren't healed, H-E-A-L, is because the devil hasn't been healed. Do we realize?
Yes, yes, yes.
Has a blood-bought Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled child of God.
Yes, hallelujah.
We got him on a leash, folks.
Uh-huh.
Heal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes.
Cancer, heal.
Yes.
Oh, I wish we really understood where I'm going with this. I wish our mind would begin to open and we would understand. Wait a second. I've got power to tread over serpents,
yes,
and scorpions. And all the power of the enemy through the power of Almighty God. Heal, devil. I've got power. I'm able to, not in of myself, but through Jesus Christ. They came back and said, oh, we rejoice that even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. How we need to understand he's put all things under his feet, and with his power and with his spirit I can tread on scorpions, I can tread on serpents, and he's given me power over all the power of the enemy. Oh, let's lift our hands right now. Let's begin to worship. Lord, let the reality begin to sink into the heart and the mind. There is nothing. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Nothing can stand in the way. You have given us the power, and nothing shall by any means hurt us.
Through you, I can do
All things are possible with God.
I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible.
God's looking for some people to believe. I've got power. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's nothing that's going to happen. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Nothing's going to hurt me. Nothing's going to keep me from getting what God wants me to have. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Help me believe, God. Help me to believe, God. Help me to believe. Help me to see your wonder-working power in our midst, God. Using channels, using vessels, God. Oh, in the name
not
of Jesus.
Not gonna live by what I see. I'm not gonna live by what I see.
Born in the miraculous. I believe it's going out in the miraculous. This thing was born in undeniable manifestation and moves of God. I believe it's going out in undeniable manifestation and moves of God. I want to be a part of it. I want to know when the time comes. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me.
I believe in you. I believe. I believe in you. I believe in you. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, for it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me believe, God. Help me to believe, Lord. Let me not fear what man can do unto me, God. Let me not fear, God. Help me to believe with everything that is within me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. All things are possible with God. You have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You can say unto this mountain, be ye removed and cast in the midst of the sea.
Jesus.
Oh, what a little faith in the kingdom of God can do. What a little faith to believe. With this power, this help, strength. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I am invincible through God. I know even as I say it, in my own natural mind, say it, try to convince myself, you can't say that. It's giving false hope. No, I believe the scriptures bear record of something altogether different. Help me believe, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Help me believe, Jesus. All power. You've given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. One more time, can we lift our hands, lift our voices? God, help us as a body of believers. Just a few people, God, myself included, would really understand what thus saith your word, God. If we really believe, we would turn the world upside down. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands? The Lord is worthy of praise. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Hallelujah. God could make it where three Hebrew boys would walk around amidst a fiery furnace like it was a refrigerator. What would happen? What would happen if we truly believed? Well, Span, you come for prayer this morning? Anybody believe that God can heal a shoulder? Oh, gather around him right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of
every chain, to break every chain, to
to break every chain, 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 break every chain, to 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 break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain,
to break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain,
to break every chain,
to break every chain.
Yes, God. 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 Yes, God.
all over this house. I want to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Power.
Hallelujah.
Strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence. Lord.
I don't want to hurry past this point. I just feel there's such a special presence of the Lord in this place this morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, to believe, Jesus, to believe, to believe, Jesus. Hallelujah. And through Jesus, through his power, can have the strength of Samson, the boldness of Peter, persuasiveness of Paul, I know we see them as attributes of those individuals, but in reality, that's just those individuals that were manifesting the attributes of God.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Help me to be but a vessel. Yes. A channel through which your spirit flows.
Yes.
Let my faith open the conduit of power, affecting the world around about me. Jesus, in your precious name. Jesus, in your precious name.
Believe and receive. Hallelujah. I receive you.
If you feel to continue praying, you are always welcome to do so. If you feel you need to go, you may go in Jesus' name. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. Go with the understanding that nothing shall by any means hurt you.